everyone, welcome to Real Estate Right Now, where we talk about real estate matters that matter to you. My name is Jay Izzo, and we are live here from Linda Crafting Studios here in Raleigh, North Carolina, part of the Greater Research Triangle Park. Today's show. Well, let's just be honest here. Let's get into the mind of a buyer. If you're somebody who's a seller right now, you're probably thinking, what are the buyers thinking? Right? And if you're a buyer, you may be going, you know, I got a lot of reasons why I may not be in this market, but I want to be in this market. And maybe you need a little nudge. So what I have done is I reached out to a friend of mine. His name is Judd Weiskel. Judd, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
And Judd and his wife have a house that they purchased through Linda Crafting Realtors with Tony Fink. And they like their house.
Love it.
And yet at the same time, they're kind of like going, well, you maybe want to do something different.
Yeah, it's, you know, we've moved in, we're just there about over 5 years.
Right.
And, you know, you get that itch. It's you're starting to see where things need repairs, or maybe you need to put a few dollars into something. And it in theory is a lot easier, at least emotionally, to say, I'll sell and move to the next place. And it may not need those things, or right. I want some new features that we didn't have in this home that we didn't need, or even know we wanted 5 years ago. But now we're thinking about it. And so you get that itch.
And for you, you've added to your family because you have a couple little dogs. Dogs are family.
They are.
And you have a couple little dogs.
Yep.
That you've added to the family, and they need space.
Absolutely. I mean, they're not big dogs, no. But they run around a lot.
They do. And then I know you are also a incredible chef. I've had your cooking. You're an incredible cook. Even though that's not what you do for a living. And I know that you have a vision as well. Like, you know what? I would maybe love to have a bigger kitchen and do more things in the kitchen. And yeah, because that's your thing.
Yeah. Seriously. Yeah. And, you know, there were two things that changed for us when we moved. The first was that we gave up a basement.
Mm.
And the second was that we gave up a kitchen that was probably twice the size of the one we have now. Now, what we got in return was tenfold. There were benefits to the new home we're in. So, of course, we made the move. But would I like a basement? Yes. Would I like a larger kitchen? Sure. And that sort of leads us now, like I said, you get that itch of, let's take a look what's out there. Let's see what's, you know, it's been 5 years. A lot's changed. Let's see what's going on. They're designing new style of homes. Different things are now in that weren't in. And, you know, trends are changing. And so it was interesting to kind of go and look at the market and see what's out there.
Okay, so let's get into the mind of your mindset of buying here. There's a lot. You have an extremely low interest rate, like a lot of people do.
Yes.
Right, from 5 years ago.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And you know, and we have an interest rate currently that's 7, maybe a little bit above right now. Right, maybe 7.25.
Yeah.
How much does the interest rate, you know, giving up what you have in an interest rate compared to the interest rate you might go into, how much does that affect your decision making?
It's massive, because the differential for very much similar is massive in terms of cash output each month, right? So we locked in, and there's going to be a subset of people watching this that go, good for you, because, and I don't blame them because it's ridiculous right, to say right. these numbers, but right. we locked in a 2.5% 30-year fixed rate, right? It may never happen again. And I'm a big believer in, you know, don't look to the past, look to the future. What I mean is, it would be like if I'm not willing to move is like saying I'm never going to the movies again because tickets used to cost $1.50 and now they're $14. So I'm never going to the movie theater ever again because that's a ridiculous difference. I get that there are factors to that and there are, you know, it could go down a rabbit hole, but in general, either you want to kind of go see the movie or you don't, and you're in a position to go see the movie or you're not, and you have the time and energy and money to see the movie or you don't. And so if all of those things, you know, just taking those as standards, if all of those things are aligned, then, you know, you start looking to what time the movie's playing. So that's kind of where I was. I was able to say, look, I have a desire. I can afford it, thankfully. There are things, let me look. And the challenge becomes very simply this. You become picky beyond whatever you thought. I always thought I was easygoing. I would start to go look at homes, and because of the interest rate differential and what that meant to a monthly payment, the home has to be perfect. It has to be everything I wanted. There's no, well, I took a smaller kitchen, or I'm going to, you know, skip that basement I thought about. It needs to be 110% of everything I ever imagined, or I'm not giving up my rate. I'm just not giving it up. Doesn't matter. I can also say that my taxes are based on my original price. So it's not just my interest rate. It's my new taxes, is my understanding anyway. When I move into this new house, it's going to be valued at this new number. Mm-hmm. And my house almost doubled. Mm-hmm. But my taxes didn't. Mm-hmm. And so now I buy this new home. I have this crazy interest rate. I have these crazy taxes. I'm okay with it. Like I said, going to the movie, mm-hmm. but it's got to be the best movie I've ever seen.
So it's not, it's the interest rate is not preventing you from getting in the market. That's not the issue. It's just that it's affected you in terms of how detailed you want to be of what you want. It's got to be the right thing for you in order to get out of it.
Yeah. I mean, I've owned two homes. I'm not some, you know, 50 right. home buyer in my life. I've owned two, but I've refied like 7 times.
Right.
Because I lived through 5.5, 4.5, 3.5, 2.5, 3.5. Right. So my attitude is things change. Buy the house you love if you can afford it. And the numbers make sense. And look forward to a time where hopefully the interest rate drops and you can refi. But don't give up on the house. The other thing is, at least, you know, as an amateur, I've seen that when the interest rates drop, the house price goes up. So it's sort of 6 of 1, half a dozen of the other
sure.
for me as a buyer. And again, there's an affordability factor, and I'm taking that for granted in this conversation, but taking that for granted, there has to be a level of willingness to refi. And, you know, rates might, you know, if rates went to 12% tomorrow, everyone would be talking about the 7%ers like they were the lucky ones.
Like they're lucky ones. Right, exactly. Okay. So then there's another factor here that I wonder what plays a role for you as a buyer who's in the market.
Yeah.
And that is the lack of inventory. Mm. We have a very small inventory, and it's just common throughout the country. Yeah. And a lot of times it's because people are not selling because they don't want to get the interest rate, or they don't have a place to go because there's just nothing available. How does that, when you take a look now as you're wandering out there, how does that change your view, knowing that you've got a lower inventory of mm-hmm. homes out there? What kind of things are you looking at?
You know, at my stage, it's what I've come to realize for us, right, my wife and I, is that at this point, we'd be looking at new construction more than likely, because there's nothing I've seen in the little bit of inventory that's mm-hmm. out there that's going to be that Goldilocks for me.
Okay.
Right. So for us, that would be the thing. And when we go to a lot of even the communities out here, they're already built. The builders have basically built 7, 8, 9, 10 houses and made all the decisions for you. And I don't like any of them. Mm. Right. And I look 2, 3 months later, those higher priced pre-built homes are taking longer to sell. That's not what people, I'm no expert. It's just not what I see people buying. And they're still out there. And I think a lot of that is because that buyer is like me, that's looking for that house and is saying, I don't want that color flooring. I don't want my shower to have that paneling or that tiling. And so if it, that's kind of where the shortage is coming in, is because what is out there is built, right? What is out there is built. And then you have the other challenge, which is a lot of those homes, you have to put down your down payment, or they have to be willing to do the type of sale, obviously, where it's a contingency.
Right.
And it took me a minute for that word. And
it is a little early in the morning.
More coffee, please. But so then a lot of those builders are saying, well, contingency sale means maybe we're not going to discount certain things or. So there's all of these factors that go into it. Right. And I can just say that the inventory I've seen, once it exists, it's almost like if you build it, I won't be there. I won't come through it because it can't be my dream home. You don't know my dream.
Right. So if it's a spec build, you just can't do it.
You can't.
So how much, I mean, this is great because, you know, we're talking about now, you know, looking at new homes.
Yeah.
Have you considered having a custom home built?
So I looked at two different things. I looked at having a custom home built, and I looked at properties where I could, you know, renovate extensively.
Okay.
Right. Like, what does that look like? And that becomes a different challenge in and of itself. Mm-hmm. Right. A lot of capital needed and a lot of time and energy. And so that became quickly, no, not going to go that route. That's not my appetite.
Why? Because is it the time?
It's the time and finding all of the different contractors I would need and all that. It becomes a project I don't want to manage. And even if I hire someone to manage it, I'm going to be
manage it.
I'm going to manage it. I'm going to manage it. So I can't let go. So know your fault.
Right. Yeah. Right.
You know, accept them.
Right.
I won't be able to let go. So that went out the window real quick. It was like a one night idea. I said, this could be something. And then by the next night it was gone. The idea of buying a custom built house, the challenge that I've seen anyway is, that one that we looked at, the type of loan, they ultimately wanted 80% of the cost they wanted you to take out the mortgage, pay interest on it for a year while they built it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know the name of that, or, you know, I'm sure someone expert here at Linda Craft knows it, sure. But I thought to myself, so that's all that money that I'm paying interest on for a year. I'm not living in the home and then I have to take out a loan and trust that they're going to build it in the time frame. Mm-hmm. And so there was a lot of those kind of weird things that I just didn't know about,
sure,
that came up. And like I said, I'm no expert on any level. I've bought twice. Right. But I've learned a lot.
Sure.
And so that was the time thing. And then the other thing with the custom builders is where they're building. They're not always built there. You know, a lot of times they're building these $1 million, $2 million homes, but it's in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
And, you know, it's 40 minutes from the airport, or it's 30 minutes to the nearest grocery store. But hey, we built a mansion. You know, it looks beautiful.
Right.
But where is it? Right. Where is it? Where did you build it? Or where are you willing to build it? So where did they buy the land? Right? What land are they developing? And the challenge becomes that I'm starting to realize that maybe I have to stay put, because the financial benefit of staying put versus the emotional win of getting my quote unquote dream house. Mm. I don't know if my dream is worth the difference in the cost.
Ah, got it. So, all right. So let's talk about the dream house a little bit here. All right. Let's talk about some of them just for you.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you said that there, you know, it's got to be perfect.
Yep.
So you have certain things in mind, I'm sure, that you go, all right, these are my top five.
Yeah.
Or top three or whatever it is. It's got to have this. So, and I'm sure both of you and your wife, both have kind of got what you want.
Yes.
Right. So give us an example of, like, you know, okay, this is the must haves.
So the first must have for both of us on any home we look at is the master bedroom has to be massive. I don't want a master bedroom that's the same size as the other 2, 3, 4 bedrooms. Mm-hmm. And there's what I find is in these massive homes, 3,000, 4,000, 6,000, 8,000 square feet, they still have a master bedroom that's like 14 by 18.
Mm.
And that's not what, you know, people with two dogs, no kids, and, you know, that's not what we want. I want a massive bedroom, so does she, with a massive bathroom attached to it and a walk-in closet. That's like the one must have.
Okay.
And so when we looked at homes, the one we have now, it had that, despite being, you know, the size it is, which is not massive. It's big. It's not massive.
Mm-hmm.
It had a massive bedroom and walk-in bathroom and walk-in, you know, everything was right with that. The next thing that I think we both need is, we're not big on having a ton of land to maintain, but I do need distance from my neighbors. So they can't be built on top of each other.
Right.
Right. I don't want to be able to open my window, reach out and poke my neighbor's house.
Right.
Right. That's not going to do it for me. So, you know, 30, 50, 80 feet is fine. I just don't want it next, you know, column homes. I think the other thing is, I'm a big home theater and music nut.
Oh, yeah.
You know this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I know.
I need a space for that to have, that I can design and make it somewhat acoustically good for me to enjoy music and for both of us, my wife and I, to enjoy movies.
Right.
So that's a big thing. I think that the next thing is where are we looking in terms of, like, the inside? The kitchen is it's make or break. It has to be big enough. Ours is big enough, right? But it was right there. It was right there.
And you've been adding stuff to to your kitchen in terms of, dare I say gadgets. But they're cooking.
I got a pizza oven.
You got a pizza oven.
I love it.
I love my
Uni pizza oven. Commercial for Uni. By the way,
Uni is not a sponsor of the show, but should Uni want a sponsor, we are more than happy.
The Uni Vault, check it out. Best pizza oven ever. You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you. You brought up the issue of a basement. Is a basement still on the table, or is that a must have or not a must have?
So if I were to move, it's a must have, and why? It becomes the space for the theater. It's ideally suited. Now, here's the thing, though. It gets even more complex for me. It can't be an oddly shaped basement with all nooks and crannies.
Mm.
It needs to be an open floor plan basement so I can use it appropriately for the theater. We found a house we loved. There were a couple of things that were in our looking that, you know, they weren't right, but they were good. And then I heard massive basement, but they had the basement broken into a bedroom, a bathroom, a little living room area. It was meant more for a living space, which suits someone ideally.
Sure.
But it was not us. And then, you know, of course, they try to sell you on the idea of, well, you could always take down the wall and do this. I'm like, why am I buying a new house if I'm going to change everything?
Right. Because again, it's going to come back. You're going to need to get contractors in.
Yes.
And of course, you've already admitted that you're going to manage a lot of this.
Yeah.
And so you're going to want it done in a particular fashion, in a particular way. And so again, you're almost coming back when you're having to do that much renovation back to a custom built home almost.
Yes. And I don't want to, and you know, there's a part of this where I'm sure somebody watching is saying, well, you know, who at Linda Craft are you working with? Or, you know, I mentioned Tony and everything. And there's a part of it where I even said to Tony, I'm going to go and just visually look at places. Mm-hmm. So I don't waste your time. I don't want you driving all over, you know, the earth to show me, like, before I set you out looking, I found, and you know, I ran them by him, and the pro that he is, he said, this one would be good for you. This one, you know, I got my guidance.
Sure.
But what I can say is, I didn't even want to bother. And maybe that's, you know, maybe that's something that can be addressed, you know, when folks come in, like, when do we bother you guys? Yeah, right. Yeah. Like, because I know it's not a bother. That's the wrong word.
Yeah.
I'm in sales. I want someone to bother me all the time,
absolutely.
But I also don't want them to bring me to meetings that have no purpose. I don't, you know what I'm saying? And so there's a level of courtesy almost from my purview of this, like, where I just need to see like pictures of the place at least. And then I'll go, because why go if it doesn't have the basement? Why go if the kitchen is the size of a thimble? Why go if it doesn't, These are you're talking about make or breaks. Why go?
Right. And I think, you know, this is where, you know, for the Linda Craft team, realtor people, you know, having the giant 80-inch big screen and being able to come in and say, hey, listen, can just set up a time to sit with you so we can show me homes at least this way here first. And then, you know, because we can pull up more details on the MLS than you might be able to get online.
Okay.
And then what you can do from there is then go, okay, well, here's a handful of homes that you may be interested in. And then you may go, well, do you want us to go with you? And of course, we have to do whatever we have to do there in terms of agreements. And then we go. But then it may be that you just go, you know what? I just want to go out on my own and take a look at the other one, drive by the property, because I get it. It's a two-dimensional picture.
Yeah.
But I just like to drive by it and see if it's got the right feel first. Then, you know, you may come back and do that. So, you know, either, you know, whatever it may be. And of course, we have the working with real estate agents thing that we have to hand you at first.
Sure.
You know, as we get started here in this state, which is not common in all states, but it's not a bother, especially since we have the technology to maybe guide people that, you know, because again, you know, if you have the technology available to you, then it's easier for you to do that. I'm interested though, having looked at some houses, and I think probably mostly from the outside, unless you went into some new construction. And I know that you and I've had a conversation where you've actually saw a piece of property that you kind of actually liked.
Yes.
And it had an adjacent piece of property that was, had some interest that you wanted to grab as well.
Yeah.
And we're trying to figure out what the possibilities there. When you are out there, and having looked at all these things, what would you tell a seller that, because of where you're at right now, that's missing for you? What could they do to entice you more or set it up more? I mean, beyond your parameters.
It's really bring your A game. Have a professional agent there, someone that knows their info, how to sell, how to not be overbearing, don't haunt me when I walk in the house. They're haunting me. I think the other thing is consider everything, right? Consider having an answer for everything. Meaning, when I worked with Tony to go look at a property, and it had that adjacent house. That adjacent house was hidden on all of the listings. And there was no mention of it in the description, but the builder built this home. I not even kidding. No exaggeration. In the yard of the new home is another home that's been there since 1977.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
And now they built this 1.2 million, 1.3 million house inches from these people because they were able to buy it. So first of all, my heart broke because I thought those poor people that live there had no control over the land next to them and somebody built a house on top of their house.
Right.
So there's like a level of that. And so then my next inclination became maybe I can help. Maybe they would want to, you know, sell. And then I can just alleviate my concerns, their concerns, everything else. But what nobody brought to the table other than Tony, right? Because I'm thinking about the seller, not my, but the seller never addressed it, never said, by the way, this may be of interest to you. I see you saw the house. There was no follow-up. You know, it's a sale. I'm in sales. It requires certain steps. It requires, you know, transparency, honesty, assistance, courtesy. I didn't get any of that from the seller of that home. Nothing, not even a follow-up, at least not to me, you know? So where, you know, my agent, Tony, was amazing, got me all the details, got me everything. He was the one who was like, by the way, there's a house on the lawn, you know? so at the end of the day, that's one of the things where, again, if you're a seller, you know, acknowledge that. And I think be realistic in terms of what your concessions might be if you built it on top of another house.
And you've already talked about a little bit of, I mean, it was a very bizarre situation because I remember you describing it to me. And you've already talked a little bit about new home, a little bit, and the spec home. And you expressed to me the other day that there is a little frustration there, and you've expressed it here a little bit. Is now you just never going to look at them anymore, or what's the thought process there? What would you do? Can you give advice to some builders out there that may be able to be better prepared for somebody like you who's in the market?
Yeah. Stop building homes with useless space and then calling it square footage. That's the first thing. I went to a home that had 137 nooks. Right. That added 800 square feet to the house, but you would do nothing but put a vase or something on the floor there because there's no use for it. Unless you are someone who enjoys standing in the corner in your house and just staring into space, there is no use. So builders, please stop building useless square footage in your floor plans. It affects the price and it has no use. So it's one of my pet peeves, right? And my sarcasm shines. But the other things that I would say to new builders is I don't know the specifics, but in my ideal world, maybe frame it out and get it started, but leave some possibilities. Right. You know, a home having a basement or not is not a decision that it can be made. It's based on where it's built. But everything else I want can be done if you just haven't necessarily picked out a floor plan, put up the walls, decided to decorate it. I've seen so many homes and they all have something. First of all, I don't want to spend money after I spent money. I'm buying new for a reason.
Right.
So any new home buyer or seller rather that tells me as a new home buyer, well, you could change this. My first thought is, no, you can change this. You want to sell it to me, right? It's not my fault you picked plaid wallpaper. I wouldn't have. And no offense to anyone with plaid wallpaper watching or listening to the show, but don't make choices for me.
Right.
Don't make choices for me. And by the way, my first house I built and I got to make every choice.
Right.
And this house, because Tony knew what we liked and saw our old house, I basically let Tony guide me towards homes because he knew. And we picked the perfect house for us here. Right. And we've been super happy, which kind of goes back to the beginning of the conversation.
Right.
My agent did such a good job finding us such a great house that I don't want to leave it unless something's perfect.
Right.
And so it creates this sort of challenge. Now, would I be more forgiving if interest rates were 2.5%? Probably.
Yeah.
I can tell you that in one instance, because of taxes and interest rate, my payment would have quadrupled. Quadrupled. That if that doesn't make everyone listening kind of go, oh my goodness, that's crazy.
Right.
But it's not when you have some equity and there's other things involved It's not crazy if you're going to, you only live once. You got to be happy in your home. If you're fortunate enough to own a home, you should be happy in it. And that was my mental attitude to get over the emotional hurdle of, oh my goodness, this is going to cost a lot more. But in the same breath, just goes back to the beginning of the conversation, Jay, it's not something that I built. It's not something that I picked out. And I think that's really the message, right? I think if you were to talk to 100 people in my position, they would be nodding because they're like, they want what they want. It's a lot of money. They got to live there for like a long time. It's basically like buying a luxury item, right?
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, I was just thinking the same thing.
You know, at some point for the buyer in my vertical, it's a luxury buy. It's not a need anymore. I have a house, right? It's a want, not a need. I have a beautiful house. I have, you know, a wonderful home that I love. I have a great interest rate. I have all these things. So if you want me to buy the fancier, shinier, newer thing, the customer service has to be there. I have to be able to have a say in what I'm getting. Mm-hmm. I want it to be delivered when I want it to be delivered. I become very demanding now when I'm not that kind of person in general, but certainly when it comes to this, I guess what I'm realizing in real time here is like, I'm becoming demanding. And in a very similar way to buying maybe a luxury car versus a functional, reasonably priced car. I go to the dealership and they tell me they don't have red and I want red. Game over. You can't sell me on it. I want red. I'm wasting money on the expensive and I could have the less. And I say wasting is not the right term, but you know what I mean? I'm going to quadruple my payment here for this car.
Right.
You better have the color I want.
Yeah.
Right. It better have all the features inside. I want a heated steering wheel. I want heated and cooled seats.
Right,
don't tell me that I have to give that up.
Right.
When I already have a perfectly good car that I pulled up in.
Yeah.
That's kind of the hard part.
I got to tell you, this has been terrific. And we've done our time. And this has been great getting inside the mind of somebody who is out, you know, thinking about buying. And hopefully you picked up something from yourself. If you're a seller, hopefully you picked up something. Hopefully, if you're in new construction, hopefully you picked up some information there too, because there are people like Judd out there who are looking. They're not just kicking tires. If it's the right thing, they will purchase, which is exactly the buyer that you want. But you need to make sure that you are doing the right things for that buyer. Judd, thanks for doing that. I usually ask people to, you know, how can people get a hold of you? I don't want people to get a hold of you.
I have enough friends.
No, that's what we do. Thanks a lot, man, for doing this.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thank you. Folks, it's the show. I say this to you weekly, and that is you have a lot of choices. You chose us. Thank you. Give us a thumbs up on YouTube. If you are, you know, listening to this by podcast, do us a favor, give us a positive review. It always helps us for sure. As I say to you all over the world, you know what that is, and that is chow every week.
Yeah, I want everything. It ain't worth living if you're dreaming small. Living if you're dreaming small.